All right, we're going to start reading here in Romans chapter 8. I'll start reading in verse 14. I'm not going to read all of this. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that you suffer, we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Verse 19, for the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. Verse 21, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Praise God. All right, we're talking on the subject of, just a minute, let me see what we're talking about. Manifesting the sons of God. I had to look it up because we're taking some branches of that and kind of branching off into some different things. But anyway, we're talking about manifesting the sons of God. Now we, right now, as a body of Christ, we are standing in the midst of what God has been prophesying for generations. We're it. This is it. And what I call it is a set time. I call it a set time. Now let's go over to Psalms chapter 102, please. Psalms chapter 102. Excuse me. Let me know when you get there. Psalm 102. Look at verse 13. Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her, yea, the set time is come. Favor. Favor. What is favor? Favor, now I don't mean for you to answer that, I'm preaching here. I'll answer myself, I'm just asking a question. Favor, in the dictionary, it means to endorse, it means to support, it means to assist, or to make easier. It means to provide with advantages. It means to show privileges. Means to be featured. Favor. Somebody comes into an auditorium and all the seats are taken except there are two seats up front. And they come in late and get those two seats. Somehow you don't feel, you know, in the balcony, you don't feel quite right. Say, hey, now, huh? But that was favor. No, I can't say that was favor. It just happened that way. But favor works like that. I'm trying to give you a picture of favor. But one man said, favor ain't fair. And I see what he's talking about, because when favor is shown, you say, hey, they didn't deserve that. But it happened anyway. Many times it's described in the scriptures as grace. Favor. So there is favor on Zion in these last days. Now, that means that you expect God to show up in everything you do to support you, to endorse you, to assist you, to make things easier for you, to provide advantages for you, and grant you special privileges. That every day you are expecting the favor of God to show up in your life. I get up every morning, just about every day, I confess favor over my life. Father, I thank you that the favor of God surrounds me like a shield. It produces supernatural increase, a promotion, restoration, honor, increased assets, greater victories, recognition, battles won, which I didn't have to fight, so forth and so on. This is the favor of God. So I'm confessing this every day, that the favor of God is going in my life. And favor shows up. So we see anybody that seemed to move for God and did significant things for God in the scriptures seemed to have favor. That Abraham had favor. There was a grace upon him. Noah had favor. Out of all the people, Noah found favor with God. How about if you go on into Esther? She had favor. Here she was. She was placed in the palace, and she was a Jew in a heathen kingdom, and God placed her there for such a time as this. And that was a time when the Jews were going to, there was a decree that went out that said that in that particular province, all the Jews would be killed. Well, then her uncle came to him and said, Esther, go in there and talk to the king. She said, I can't go in there. I'm not invited in there. Anybody that goes in there and they're not invited, they could get their head cut off. He said, wait a minute, Esther. Hold on, honey. He said, you have been chosen for such a time as this. And the church has been chosen for such a time as this. See, it's been a bad decree going out. And so what has happened is now Esther put on her royal apparel. Somebody say royal. Come on now. Royal apparel and so forth. And then she got herself together and fasted for 3 days and went in there. When she went in there, the king pointed a scepter at her. He said, Esther, what is it that you request? Whatever it is, up to half of my kingdom, I'm going to give it to you. Glory to God. So now you see we are joint heirs with who? Christ. Whatever he gets, we get. In the kingdom. So now here, if you go on down, David had favor. Go on down in the New Testament, or what we call the New Testament, the Gospels, you see a woman named Mary. An angel came to her. One time he said, Hail Mary. Say Hail Mary 3 times. No, don't do it. And he said, Hail Mary, thou art highly favored among women. And she said, went on to tell her what's going to happen to her. She said, well, be it unto me. But favor was granted. Paul talks about favor. He said, because of your giving, God will cause all grace, every favor, and earthly blessing to come to you in abundance. Say amen to this. The favor of God. So when you're talking about the favor of God, again, you're talking about support, endorsement, you're talking about assistance and to make things easier for you, to provide advantages for you, to grant special privilege to you. And God himself shows up wherever you go to assist you and make things easier for you and to bring you to prominence, because that's what he promised Abraham he would do for you. Bless you and make your name what? Great. So God's going to do that for you. Now, in this, Jesus preached about it. Turn to Luke chapter 4. Jesus preached about it. Let me know when you get to Luke chapter 4 by saying amen. Amen. Look at verse 18. Now, this is when Jesus was starting his ministry, and he stood up for to read. Verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, this acceptable year of the Lord, in the Amplified translation, it says that he was going to, Lord have mercy, can I have an Amplified Bible? I don't have it under my seat there. It's not there, because, oh goodness, oh, is it there? Okay. That's okay. Let me use this one. 18. He said this, in 19 he says, to proclaim the accepted and acceptable year of the Lord, the day when salvation and free favors of God profusely abound. Now, notice what he said. The day when the free favors of God profusely abound. He preached about a day. Got it? Now, I got news for you. We're in that day. Now, he said profusely abound. Well, we got to find out what profusely means, because we might have several different understandings of profusely. But profusely means, it means rich, it means lavish, it means abundance, it means pour out often to excess, it means liberal to excess, it means overabounding, it means extravagant. So the day when the free favors of God are going to be poured out to excess. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, this is that day. Now, stay with me. Let's go back now and look where Jesus turned to in the scriptures to preach this message. Turn back to Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61. Okay? You've got it, right? Look at verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to preach liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Is that pretty accurate so far? But look at the next verse, next part of that verse. And the day of vengeance of our God to comfort all that mourn. You got to get this. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them the what? Give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of what? Righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified, and they shall build the old wastes, and they shall raise up the former generations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. Now, all this is in Isaiah 61. But Jesus preached, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, set at liberty them that are bruised, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And then he closed the book and set out. He didn't preach this. He didn't preach vengeance. Okay? Now, my point to you is that wasn't part of his reading, because that wasn't a part of his ministry. But that part picked up in the opening chapters of the church. So now it's kind of interesting. Something picks up here. And that's called the vengeance of the Lord. Now, what we saw is we saw over in Hebrews, chapter 10. Come on over there with me, please. Hebrews chapter 10. And let me know when you get there by saying, praise the Lord. Got it? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 30. For we know him that has said, vengeance belongeth to me. I will what? Recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall what? Judge his people. Now, what is vengeance, we said? Now, listen at me, because I'm going further today, and I'm talking to grown folk. Vengeance has nothing to do with hate or resentment, but It is affliction proceeding from love of justice. It's the necessary or necessity of punishing offenders. Vengeance is a just retribution or a punishment. What is the recompense? Recompense means to compensate. It means to make, to repay, to return an equivalent of anything done or suffered, to make amends. Recompense. So he says up here, use both words. He says, vengeance belongeth to who? Me. Look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 30. Vengeance belongeth to who? Me. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 30. For we know him that has said what? Vengeance belongeth to me, and I will what? I will what? Recompense means to pay back. So I'm going to do that. And vengeance means I'm going to execute judgment or justice. All right, I'm trying to get you to track along with me because I'm going to go somewhere and I don't want to leave grown folk behind. Look what it says in Genesis chapter 15, please. Chapter 15. Now, this is for everybody, so I want you to really be attentive to what I'm saying here today. Genesis chapter 15. You with me, right? Boy, this thing is so good, I'm telling you, man. Somebody, woo, make you want to hurt somebody. All right, look what it says in verse 13. And he said to Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in the land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. Underline that word, will I judge. And afterwards shall they come out with great what? Substance. All right. So he told Abraham, here's the deal. The people are your seed, they're going to go into bondage. They're going to be there some 400 years. But then they're coming out. And the people that held them, I'm going to judge them. Let's go over to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. Wow. This is all good. I said, this is all good. Now look at Exodus chapter 3 and verse 19. This is when Israel now is in bondage because, of course, Joseph went down Egypt. He went down to Egypt. Of course, he was raised up to be prime minister, and he saved Egypt from the famine, and the pharaohs knew him. But now there's a pharaoh that was raised up that didn't remember Joseph and his work that he did. Joseph has gone on now. And so now he's mistreating Israel. As a matter of fact, he's put them in bondage. So, look what happened. Verse 19. This is God talking to Moses. He's raised up Moses now to deliver them. And I'm sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go. No, not by a mighty hand. I believe that mighty hand is not by natural forces, natural army, natural strength. Verse 20. And I'll stretch out my hand. Lord have mercy. And smite Egypt with my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that, he will let you go. Come on now. We're going somewhere now. Verse 21. And I will give this people what? Favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall come to pass that when you go, you shall not go empty. But every woman shall borrow of her neighbor and of her that sojourneth in her house jewels of silver, jewels of gold, and raiment. And ye shall put them on your sons and upon your daughters. And you shall what the Egyptians? Spoil the Egyptians. You shall strip them. Take everything they got. Now turn to Exodus chapter 5. And afterward, verse 1, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, God of Israel, let my people go, and that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I shall obey his voice and let you go, Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. Now, didn't he tell Moses, that Pharaoh was not going to let him go? Not by a mighty hand? Didn't he tell him that? So, turn over to Exodus chapter 7, please. Verse 1. And the Lord said to Moses, "See, I have made thee a god to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. Now thou shalt speak all that I command thee." Let's stop right there. Now what is he saying here? He's saying, okay, I'm going to send you down there. Now when you go down there, and I'm going to get to this later, but you're going to have to demonstrate some power. Because without power, there's no release. Now, Moses went to Pharaoh and said, "Let my people go." Now, Pharaoh is saying, "Who are you?" He said, "Well, my God sent me." Who is your God? See, Pharaoh thought he was a God. Now, two things. One is that there have been forces sitting on God's people's destinies. The enemy had even programmed the church through the preaching that had been going on or teaching sometimes that they had no power beyond what they could naturally or intellectually do or any that the power that he would allow the people of God to have. So all kinds of forces have been assisting the Gentiles in terms of keeping and holding positions or wealth or advantages. But now is a set time of God's favor. The enemy has been using spiritual forces to win. Right here, you'll see in chapter 7, is where Moses actually threw down the rod and it turned into a snake. But if you look at verse 11, then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers, now the magicians of Egypt. They also did in like manner with their enchantment. They demonstrated some power. So the enemy has been using different kinds of powers to hold God's people. And what we did show you that eventually what he did, he was using, it said in Deuteronomy chapter 7, it said God was talking to them about going into Canaan, he said, "You're going to be up against some Hittites, some Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than you are." And what you got to understand is that in each one of those ites, it was a strong man that was stronger than any natural man. And so if you're going to go up against Satan or up against his domain or what he calls is his territory, you're going to have to first learn how to bind a strong man. That you cannot enter into a house and spoil his goods unless you first bind the strong man. So you're going to have to learn how to go up against that. So I'm just letting you know that the enemy has been using forces that men who are walking in the natural and not grown up have not understood and therefore had no defense for. So the church has not reached its destinies. People who have been called to start schools or people even been called to get married or people been called for businesses or people been called even to the presidency haven't been able to get there because the church has not been grown up. And I'm telling you, the problem has not been that the devil's so bad, is that the church is so uninformed, is that the church has been in such carnality. But now we're talking to grown folk. We're talking to people who have grown up. And those schools now are going to be built. Those businesses are going to be started. Those marriages are going to be consummated. Come on now. And I'm just saying that enemy has tried to make things happen that would really point his finger in the church's face and bully the church. The enemy has pointed his finger in the church's face and said this, "I dare you to tithe." And do you know people wouldn't tithe? Hey, the enemy has pointed his finger in the church and said, I dare you to trust God's word for your healing. And they have been dared to trust his word. I'm saying that the church should be the benevolent empire for the world, that we should be taking care of the poor. We should be building New Orleans back down there. Come on now. And I'm saying the reason why this has not been is because the church has been in captivity, and the problem is they haven't even known it. So now is a time and the set time that for Zion, that the favor of God is about to kick in, and everything that's been sitting on our destiny is now about to be put down. That God is now bringing the church, and you will not fail. You will not falter. You will be unshakable. You will accomplish what God has planned for you to do. What God has spoken about you from the foundation of the world, this will happen in your life. Say amen to this. So, what happens is Moses goes down there. Let my people go. Now, I want you to know something. You know, and I know, that Moses could not go down there and tell Pharaoh that over and over and over again without Pharaoh killing him. Pharaoh refused to be insulted by any man. But he could not touch Moses. Watch this. And he cannot touch you. And the reason why he cannot is because through redemption, you have a heritage of protection. Glory to God. Say amen to that. Now, don't be coming back to Job. Well, you see what happened to Job. The devil touched you. Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. That was Job. You in the New Testament, you got now the vengeance of the Lord. And that is putting you into a totally different category. Now, when you are on assignment, it doesn't make any difference. Lord, have mercy. Boy, I'm preaching this here now. God has seated you somewhere. We went over this. That Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. Am I right? But in Ephesians chapter 2, it says, you are seated there with him. Am I right about it? Far above all what? Principality and power. Now that covers every kind of attack, every kind of accident. It means that you are far above every witch, every warlock. You are far, come on, because you are a heavenly citizen. You've been delivered from the powers of darkness, and you're in the kingdom of God, dear son. So now you have a heavenly immunity and cannot be assaulted, molested, harassed, or cannot be touched. Now you better get this. Now you follow what I'm saying. Now, in this, turn with me to Psalm. Lord, have mercy. Psalm 91, please. See, you are on assignment. You're on assignment. And it's impossible now for you to be harassed. I said it's impossible for you to be assaulted. He couldn't touch Moses, and he can't touch you. Do you believe that? See, you got to believe what the Bible says. Say amen to that. Now, if you will, I want you to look at Psalm, what did I tell you? Psalm 91. But before you do that, let's just go and put something right there, and let's look at Zechariah. Zechariah, which is next to Malachi, next to Matthew, chapter 2, please. Chapter 2. Mm-hmm. I said, uh-huh. See, I remember when this lady asked this lady, she said, listen, you know, I'm trying to do everything I can to get my healing. She said, I just can't seem to get it to manifest. She said, do you know what's wrong? She said, yeah, I know. She said, what? She said, you just don't know enough. You don't know enough. Knowledge. You got to have some knowledge. My people are destroyed. Why? Lack of knowledge. What I'm doing is giving you some knowledge. Look what it says in Zechariah. Okay, you got it? Look at verse 8. Look, if you don't find the scripture, just look on the screen. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, after the glory hath he sent me unto the nations which spoiled you. For he that touches you touches the what? Apple of my eye. You know, I had to look at that because I'm saying apple of your eye. Is that talking about an apple? No, it's not talking about apple. The Hebrew word for it is pupil. The pupil. Try to touch the pupil of somebody's eye. You know, I mean, that's protected. God is protecting you as he protects the apple, come on, of his eye. Come on now. Now, you got to believe that. Say, I believe. See, you can't just come in here and just mouth these things. I ask God, so Lord, give me the ability to preach one sermon. And where they would have to go home and meditate for 7 days, they won't have to do that. This one sermon will transform their thinking in one service. And that's what he's doing. Now, turn back to Psalm 91 now. Psalm 91, let me know when you get there. Verse 1, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now, let's put ourselves in the place of Moses now. We're going up against Pharaoh. We're going up against the things that the enemy has put up to try to keep us in bondage. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall what? Deliver me from the what? Snare of the fowler from the noise and pestilence. He shall cover me with his what? Feathers. Under his wings shall I what? Trust. His truth shall be my what? Shield and my buckler. And I shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, but it shall not come nigh me. Only with my eyes shall I behold and see the reward of the wicked, because I made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, my habitation. There shall no evil befall me, neither shall any plague come nigh my dwelling. He's given his angels charge over me, and they keep me in all my ways. They shall bear me up in their hand, lest I dash my foot against a stone. Do you hear what I'm saying? I'm saying that, notice, God's got your back. He's got you covered. Coming over to Psalms chapter 103. Come on, Psalms chapter 103. Real quick, come on with me. Psalms chapter 103. Lord, have mercy. Let me know when you get there. Look at verse 19. The Lord has prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over everything. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Here's the good news. You have a guardian angel assigned to you as a child of God, and he is charged with the responsibility of preserving your destiny. And it says that they excel in strength. I looked it up, and this is what it means. It means no force can stop them. No opposition opposition can stand in their way. So when God gives you an angel to stand guard over you, it makes you impossible, an impossible case for the devil, that the devil cannot deal with you any longer. You see, somehow we thought that Satan was on our level. He is not on our level, man. We are seated far above all principality and powers. Are you following what I'm saying? Lord, have mercy. Now, why am I showing you all of this? I'm showing you all of this because I want you to see what God says about you. Look at Psalm 105, please. Psalm 105. Look what it says in verse 14. Have you got it? Say praise the Lord. He suffered no man to do them wrong. Now, this is Old Testament. You know he's doing better for you in the New. Yea, he reproved kings for their sake, saying, touch not my who? Anointed. And do my who? My prophets. Come on. No harm. Those are two different categories, folks. These anointed folks and these are prophets. I'm saying you are anointed. If you're not a prophet, you're still anointed. And God says, touch not my anointed. But he told me, look that up in the Amplified Translation. So I looked it up in the Living Bible Translation. And I looked it up, and this is what it says. Watch this. But through it all, he would not let one thing be done to them apart from his decision. Watch this. He destroyed many a king who tried. That is the vengeance of the Lord. When it is a set time for something to happen, it is a set time. That means that when it was a set time for those people to come out of Egypt, it was a set time. I'm telling you, we're standing in the midst of what God has been prophesying for generations upon generations. It is a set time. God will not let this time go by. You're going to see more prophets going to be prophesying about this time, because this is a time that anything that's standing in the way of your destiny is going to be tormented, is going to be put down, and if necessary, is going to be taken from the earth. If you want another scripture, you can find, let's turn to a couple more because I want you to see this. Go with me to Genesis chapter 20, please. Genesis chapter 20. I said, when you come out, you're not even coming out empty. I said, you're not coming out empty. I said, you're not coming out empty. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Are you with me? Look at Genesis chapter 20. And Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country and dwelt between Kadesh and Seir, and sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said to Sarah, his wife, she is my sister. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night, and he said to him, behold, you are but a dead man for this woman which you have taken, for she is a man's wife. Now, this is kind of interesting, because what I did is I went into the scriptures and did some study and talking about this thing of having this woman in this man's house. Now, she wasn't supposed to be in there. He wasn't supposed to be holding that woman. He was holding some of God's property. And I'm telling you, God ain't gonna stand for nobody else. And now, in this last day, holding his property. Say amen to this. I want to show you something. Well, you know he let her go. You know he got out of there pretty quick. But not only that, he blessed Abraham. Look at verse 14. And Abimelech took some sheep and oxen and men servants and maid servants and gave them to Abraham. I'm telling you, you're not coming out empty. I'm telling you, God's bringing you out, and he's not bringing you out empty. Let's go over to Genesis, please, and chapter 30. Glory to God. 31. Genesis chapter 31. Boy, I'm loading you up today. Oh, I'm out of time. Do y'all have a little bit more time? Can I finish this right here? Look at Genesis chapter 31. Let me know when you get there. Are you there? All right. Look what it says here. And this is when, look at me, Jacob worked for his this man named Laban, who was his father-in-law, because he was wanting to work off taking this woman whom he loved. What's her name? Rachel, right? And taking Rachel out, but Leah got pushed in that tent that night, that dark night. Leah got pushed in there first. And you don't know what I'm talking about, just study it out, praise the Lord. But my point to you is that he worked for her for 14 years, but Laban didn't want to let him go. And Laban didn't want to let him go because he was bringing Laban increase. But Jacob had to go. It was time for him to go. So now when he starts to go, he left. And what had happened is Jacob start going after him and so forth. But look what it says here. I want you to just see this. He said this, Lord have mercy. Where am I? Glory to God. Oh, Lord, thank you, Jesus. Stay with me. Here it is, verse 7 of 31. Have you got it? And your father has deceived me how many times? Your father has deceived me and changed my wages how many times? 10 times. But God did what? Suffered him not to hurt me. He couldn't hurt him. Look at verse 1. And he heard the words of Laban's son, saying, Jacob has taken away all that was our father's, and of that which was our father's has he gotten all this what? Glory, glory. So I'm just saying here that it's interesting how Jacob finally left under the power of God, but Laban couldn't hurt him. Oh, Jesus, I'm rushing now. But let's go to one more place. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel chapter 15. See, there's something I want you to get down in your spirit. I want you to get the fact that they can't hold you any longer. That debt can't hold you any longer. Come on now. Sickness can't hold you any longer. See, it's been the enemy trying to pile these things on and make you so forth. But look what happened. This is when the Philistines had stolen the Ark of the Covenant from Israel. And they had taken it and put it in their Philistine camp. But look what happened. Verse 3. And when they of Ashdod rose up early in the morning, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the earth before the ark of the Lord. And they took Dagon and set him up in his place again. And when they arose early on the morrow morning, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the ground before the ark of the Lord, and the head of Dagon and both his palms of his hands were cut off upon the threshold. Only the stump of Dagon was left to them. Therefore, neither the priest of Dagon nor any that come unto Dagon's house tread on the threshold of Dagon in Ashdod unto this day. But the hand of the Lord, somebody say hand of the Lord, was heavy upon them of Ashdod, and he destroyed them and smote them with emerods. They got sick and boils and stuff on them, even Ashdod and the coast thereof. And when the men of Ashdod saw that it was so, they said, the ark of the God of Israel shall not abide with us, for his hand is sore upon us and upon Dagon our God. In other words, you are not going to have to put down nobody else's God. All you got to do is show up and their God's going to be put down. I'm saying you're not going to have to fight your own battles, but the favor of God's going to show up and fight your battle for you. Are you with me? It's what I'm saying here. Now, what am I saying here? Let's go, because this is what I want to end up on. You're not going to have to fight your own battle. The battle is not yours. The battle is the Lord's. And glory to God of Lord have mercy. Come on to here. Glory to God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Never again will you have to get even with anybody. God's going to take care of it for you. It took vengeance from Moses to take his place with Pharaoh and to set Israel free. It took vengeance for Jesus in terms of Herod trying to kill him as a baby. But the vengeance of the Lord took Herod off the earth. I'm telling you, vengeance again is here, and the church has got to teach vengeance, because if we don't, we'll remain victims. God is answering on our behalf. Today, it's time for your release. It's time for Satan's removal. It's time for him now no longer to torment you, for anything that refuses to let you go, anything that's holding you back from your destiny, it's first going to be tormented. Anything that's standing in your way is going to be removed, and it's starting right now. This is a set time. It's going to be impossible for Satan to stop you from fulfilling your destiny from the kingdom of God. The vengeance is going to answer you on your behalf today. Anything and everything coming against you from now on will be put down. This is a season for your manifestation. You'll not have to fight your battle. The battle is not yours. The battle is God's, and God's going to pay back and pay damages for everything that you've suffered, every time that you've been out of work, every time that you've been shortchanged, every time that you've been fired from a job, every time that you've not had this or that. God's going to pay it all back. I'm telling you, it's not only vengeance, but it's recompense, 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 recompense. God's going to pay it back today. Now, the last place I want to show you, turn with me to Psalm 105, please. Psalm 105. Glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, we're about to see the biggest wealth transfer that we've ever seen on the face of the earth. Glory to God. Look what it said in Psalm 105 and verse 37. And he brought them forth also with what? Silver and gold. And there was not what? One feeble one among their tribes. See, saints of God, we got to remember something. That not only did they get their money, but in the book of Job, he said, I'll restore to you the years that the canker worm has eaten, the palmer worm, the caterpillar, my great army that I sent among you, and my people will never be ashamed. I'm here to tell you, that's why you're seeing people come here and they are now preaching the word of God, and all of a sudden miracles come. Somebody over there get their teeth replaced. Somebody get their teeth filled with gold. Somebody gets a stent taken out of their heart or their leg. Somebody gets a total kidney. I'm saying nobody laid hands on them. Why is this? Because of the favor. Because of the set time. I'm telling you now, you're not only coming out with money. You're coming out with healing. You're coming out with deliverance. You're coming out with your whole household made whole. You might say, well, that runs in my family. You're in another family, and God's going to manifest the Son of God. He's going to manifest his people. He's going to beautify the church, and all creation will see that there is a God in heaven. You're not going to need to move. You're not going to need to move. You're not going to need to go anywhere. You're not going to need hands laid on you. The power of God's going to be moving with no hands laid on you. Are y'all with me? This is a set time of the favor of God. Take your seats. What kind of message did I tell you this was? It's for grown folk. It's for grown folks. But I gotta preach it. I gotta preach it. How can the church hear without a preacher? And how can he preach except he be sent? I was sent to you for this time. It's a revelation, folks. That's why I had to give it to you. Because the church has not understood vengeance, we have remained victims.
Yes, yes, yes. Hallelujah. Thank you.
You've been divinely positioned.
Yes, Lord, my God.
Just like Pharaoh couldn't touch Moses, we're going to make it so cancer can't touch you. Can't touch it. Now, I know you're trying to figure out how can that be done. I have decided that I got to preach what God has spoken. I'm not anymore looking for somebody who's some baby Christian who never went to church to come in and appreciate what I just preached. I know God brought you here and thank God for it. But I don't need you evaluating what I preach. I'm preaching it so God's people can believe it,
yes.
So we can manifest it.
Thank you, Lord. Yes, thank you. Hallelujah.
This is our time.
Yes, it is.
And we're going for it. We are His people.
Thank you, Lord.
And anything standing in the way of our destiny,
yes,
from now on,
yes,
is going to be dealt with, yes, by God. That's the good news. Did y'all get something? Now, let me say this. All kinds of things have been resisting you. The enemy has used all kinds of tricks. I'm not just talking about one set of people. I'm talking about anybody. The enemy has used all kinds of tricks on you to resist you. There are things that we should have millionaires all over the church. We should have big businesses all over the church. We should have, come on now, all these things. The church should have rebuilt New Orleans. That should have been rebuilt by now. With a Bible in every house. And Bible clubs all over the place. But we've been resisted. But those days are over. He said, when you're coming out now, you're not coming out empty. So get your storehouse ready. Because I'm about to move. And all those people who raised their hand that said you had school debt, it's about to be wiped out. Be wiped out. Why? You've been held in captivity. Oh, yeah. He's judging a system. Now, don't stop paying on your thing when I say, y'all, come on, we grown up folk. But this is your day. And you see it a move across the auditorium. And everybody be healed. Watch this. And it come back the other day, other way. Come back the other way. The first one was a north wind. Now south wind come back and wipes out all debt. Every car debt, you get notices in the mail that it's paid off, paid in full. See, stop thinking possibilities. We're out of that business right now. We're into the extraordinary. We're into extreme favor. Stuff that you didn't even know was coming. Y'all hear what I'm talking about? Boy, you got to be anointed to preach this message. Oh, yeah. Not only that, I believe, can I go further? Not only is he going to wipe your debt out, he's going to wipe out all your bad credit. He's going to go in the computer. Oh, I'm calling that right now. I want all the credit, all the evidence that you've been late. All that, I want all that wiped out in the name of Jesus. That got it then, didn't it? That got it. See, we're talking like sons of God. Man. Sons of God talk like God. Man. I'm not talking about something that we can do. I'm talking about something he can do. He said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. He said, you know, those enemies that you saw yesterday, you will see them no more. Them debts that you saw last week, you will see it no more. Them doctor's appointments that you've been having every month, you will have them no more. Come on now. Come on. That husband that got that alcoholic problem, he said, with God, all things are possible. Give the Lord a praise for him. All right, take a seat. Let's call for souls. If you're here right now and you know that you belong to this, this is something that you've been waiting on. You know, but you know you have no real relationship with the Lord. Now, I'm not playing games. I'm saying you know in your heart that you need Jesus in your life. What I want to do is the same thing they did for me years ago. I want to bring you and pray for you and get a miracle in your life right now. So you